Now, the rest of the story. The haunting started the night of December 1, with dreadful, anguished groaning in the darkened hallways of the once peaceful home. A housekeeper was first to hear it, and then to search for its source, which was unfindable. In the nights to come, parents and children would hear it as well. But by then, the untraceable, disembodied voices and noises would become more persistent and more dreadful. There was loud knocking on the walls, enough to send the house down, one of the girls exclaimed through tears, and the sound of glass breaking, and the wisp of invisible dresses sweeping the floor. But Mother had even greater fears. Could these dark disturbances foreshadow some even more awful things, she wondered? In any event, that grand house, once filled with laughter, now echoed with other things. And winter deepened, and with it the unsolvable mystery. The eldest daughter bravely named the intruder Old Jeffrey. Surely Old Jeffrey could do no harm, she imagined. Letters written by family members and personal diaries would chronicle the haunting by dates and times, the family dog whining in terror before each phantom disruption. More knocking on a bedroom ceiling, next on the walls, eventually on the bed frame itself. Christmas night, Old Jeffrey exploded with rage as every room above and below and all around, locked and open, seemed to thunder. Walls shook and furniture trembled, and the horror was not nearly done. On a later night, Father in his study was suddenly accosted by somebody or something, was shoved against his desk, was hurled into a door. A family friend, a clergyman, was invited one night to witness, and witnessed dumbstruck was all that he could do, as pounding and footsteps and trailing gowns manifested all around. Through January and February and March, the torments persisted. One evening at dinner, all at once, Father's plate seemed to dance on the table, all by itself. Daughter Nancy, often followed or preceded through the house by knockings, was followed to bed one night, only to ride the bed as it rose high into the air, and several times. And those noises, those voices, sometimes screams, nobody could imitate them. Those objects that jumped and floated and danced for all to see, none could explain. It would appear with the approach of springtime, the misery lessened until it was a memory none in the family would ever forget. Casual hearers have attempted rational explanations for the case you've just heard, for the haunting nearly 300 years ago of the rectory of the Reverend Samuel Wesley. But the written evidence suggests that it was what it seemed to have been. Oh, and incidentally, growing up in that house was Sam Wesley's son, John. That's right, the John Wesley, founding father of the Methodists, whose life was spiritually extraordinary, biographers say. And that is so. Only now you know the rest of the story.